is Davin's Den.
We are back. We are joined with comedian and S&M dungeon manager, Catherine Henson. Hi, Catherine. How are you? Fantastic. Thank you for joining us on the Den. Thank you for joining Pip and I. So Catherine and I met a few weeks ago. We were doing a couple of comedy shows together at the hostel. Remember I told you I was doing the show at the hostel?
Oh, I remember.
I walked on stage and Karen was discussing pubic hair. So I'm like, well, this is a girl I need to get to know. And then we were at Broadway Comedy Club later on that evening. And I guess conversations about her job came up, and we started a riff. What? Well, I didn't bring it up. You were on that tangent without me. I was just sitting there waiting to go on stage, but we got to talking
about pubic hair, as one does.
No, no, pubic hair. Pubic hair was rather tame compared to what we wound up talking
well,
about.
Well, do tell.
Well, that's what we're about to do. So, Catherine, how'd you get to be a manager of a sex dungeon?
Craigslist.
Really?
Yeah.
I
mean, every job I've ever gotten is from Craigslist. You know, I mean, it's really hard to get a job on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah. No, it is definitely the great, equalizer.
Right?
Yeah. You can get anything done there. Okay, well, you're a braver woman than I.
It is a little nerve-wracking because when you send in a resume, or I don't even know if I did that. I actually, no, they don't ask you for a resume, but I did bring one because that's the culture I come from.
Right, right.
But, like, if you send in, I guess, why you want to do it, how old you are, and, like, a photo. And
okay. Well, I was going to say, go to these cross streets. It sounds a little like, were you doing this at night, alone?
No,
for
the middle of the day,
they
sound a little scary.
Yeah.
So, they do them around, you know, anywhere between noon and, like, 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So and a lot of dudes do weird stuff around those hours, too, believe it or not. So.
Well, I mean, had you done anything remotely like this before?
I mean, you know, I've choked somebody in my personal life, but not like, I've never managed, you know, 75 dildos in a given evening.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. I'm just having this vision of a wall full of dildos hanging there, like, you know, pick your pleasure.
That's, I would say that's not far off from what it actually looks like. We have, like, an equipment room. So, yeah. I mean, I've seen some shit in there where I was like, whoa, okay. I don't know if I'm afraid or excited. I mean, this is interesting. We have, like, anything you could ever imagine. And so, like, when the guy decides to session with the girl, she usually has a conversation with him, and then she comes back out. I go collect the money, and then we have a conversation about what she needs for the session. And then I have to check out all this equipment.
Oh wow! So you're yeah. Like, you're sort of like the librarian of the toy area.
Yeah, I'm a librarian. I'm a pimp in a way because I'm dealing with the money. I'm also the customer service agent because, you know, I apologize if shit doesn't go right. So,
who's the clientele? Who's coming in?
A lot of old white dudes.
Right? Old white dudes.
Yeah. Shock me, right?
Yeah, that's sort of like, if we're going to profile, that's sort of like the same demographic as serial killers.
Exactly. I mean, if they aren't old and white, I start wondering what's happening with them. I have to be honest. Maybe that's a little judgmental.
What's it, like Starbucks? You kick a young black guy out?
I've seen one black guy there.
Oh, wow.
Ever, and then I saw one super hot Indian dude. And when I say hot, I don't mean, there's like dungeon hot where you're like, oh, he's not so bad. And then there's like, you know, hot, like walking down the street. And the dude was very attractive. I was almost like, here's my number. Whatever you want, I'll just do it later, you know?
Yeah, you can get this for free.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. You don't need to pay $220. But his whole thing was like, he wanted to eventually do this thing that's called a public. And a public is like when the girl who's in session brings in all the other girls for like a very brief period of time. And usually it's with cross-dressers. They'll like shame the cross-dresser. Like yesterday I saw one. The guy was like hanging. He was wearing one of those like gimp masks and being beaten, and they're all just pointing and laughing and talking about how small his dick is and shit like that. And the hot dude wanted to, like, get hard in front of all the women.
Ah.
But there were so many women, and they were laughing at him so loudly that he couldn't.
Oh, no.
So that was very gratifying, you know, for everybody involved. For him, I guess.
But wait, that gratified him that he couldn't even get an erection with them laughing?
I think he actually wanted to get the erection. I don't know. He was a very weird thing because he actually thought he was going to get to have sex with somebody, which is like not what we do.
Right.
Oh, wait, there's no so sex? There's no sex.
Sex is illegal.
Okay, but wait, where do the dildos come in?
Your ass.
So there's some blurred lines here. You know, I mean, there's no penetration. There's no oral sex. There's some things, like, for regulars that are, you know, may or may not happen.
Okay.
But, so, yeah. Wait, so basically, men show up there to be humiliated.
I mean, yeah, a lot of men, that like, a dom session where they're dominated, but then a lot of men show up for sub sessions where they want to be the one who's dominant.
Okay.
The girl has to like agree to that. A lot of girls like don't do sub work, but some do the switch work where they'll do a little bit of dom, a little bit of sub stuff during the session.
I just don't understand. It's like the same thing with like strip clubs. I don't understand what the point of going in and paying all that money is if you're not going to get your rocks off at the end.
I mean, they do. They are allowed to take care of themselves. We like, and by we I mean not me, the women. You know, they don't like jerk them off or anything.
Right, right. Okay, so there's no, I mean, all of the fantasy play is consensual, but there's no actual penetrative sex.
Correct.
Okay. So now, when you're speaking to these women, I'm sure that you've had conversations with them about what brought them to this line of work?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it would be, It surprises me how absolutely normal everyone who does this kind of work is.
Right.
I mean, of course, you know, you have, I mean, I'm a little nuts. I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, but, I mean, there's a girl who was very popular. I was there last night. She's just super popular because she's kind of got that 50s pinup vibe, sort of thin. And this guy just wanted to tickle her for an hour.
Really?
Like that. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when we're sitting around in these conversations about what these guys want, these women will look at me and be like, yeah, this guy's a fucking weirdo. And I'm like, well, who is weirder, the guy who wants it or the people who, like, do it, you know? You're like, going in here and doing this shit.
You're providing this. You have to remember that.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's like a lot, all the women are pretty detached from it. They
right.
do have regular clients that some, like, you know, have developed, like, a friendship with. Like, there's a guy who, I know he's a teacher. He has a micro penis. He is a virgin. He cannot get his penis up. They call him Baby Carrot in a loving way. They wrote him a birthday card.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody signed it. I signed it. He got a birthday card from the dungeon.
So they pretty much, he's a regular there because he can go there for, like, some measure of understanding?
Yeah, understanding and so in a while. I wonder if he's okay. Sometimes they have each other's phone numbers. My favorite girl who works there, she's very good at her job in the sense that she does, like, give her phone number, I think, to clients, but she doesn't ever see them outside of there, but, like, one of them she never sees. He just brings her lunch.
Whoa.
And I work that day, so I get lunch.
Wow.
So, like, yeah, so yesterday she was like, we're getting Shake Shack on Thursday. Give me your phone number. I'm taking your order beforehand because we're not going to have the nightmare that happened when we went to Panera Bread. Because I didn't know what was on the menu, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, he, like, shows up at the door. He doesn't even see her. I open the door, and I'm like, hello. You know, your mistress says thank you, and he goes, thank you. And I'm like, all right, have a good one. See you next Thursday.
So some of these guys really just, they get, whether it's sexual or not, but they get a certain satisfaction out of pleasing the woman, even if there's no physical contact, even sight.
Right. Yeah, like this guy, I know he's sessioned with her before, but like he hasn't recently. And his whole thing is like, I'm waiting in line at Shake Shack for 45 minutes to get this for my mistress. And when she eats it, she'll think of me. You know, and like it's like this idea that they have in their mind about what the relationship is, I guess. I don't know. It's some of these girls are so good at their job that they have their electric bill, their phone bill, and like a black Amex card from different clients.
Wow.
Yeah, this is bullshit. This is bullshit.
I know.
Well, listen.
As a manager, I don't have any of that cool shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen, if I'm going to be your sugar daddy, somebody's blowing me. Somebody, we're going to do some shit if you got a black Amex card that I'm paying. What type of horse shit is this?
Well, that girl is like a professional. Like, she does shit with needles. Like, I mean, this client, like, that she has the Amex card for, he wants shit like corporal sessions, which involve, like, caning.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she, like, sews it up, and then she'll put, like, 12 needles in the tip of his dick and extract blood for him and give it to him because that's what he wants.
Wow.
She's, like, extracting his testicular fluid. She'll, like, and then give it to him, and that's what he wants. And so, you know, not a lot of people can fulfill that desire.
Yeah.
I'll beat his ass. I'll stick him with needles. Fuck that. I could do
right? I mean, people fly from across the country just to see that woman.
Well, I can understand that because I don't understand why people might develop particular fetishes like wanting to have needles in your penis. I can't.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, how did you come across that? Like, did you fall into a pincushion and say that was great?
Fucked a porcupine.
You know, I mean,
96.
What? Yeah,
it was a slow time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand where those things come from, but I think that it is great, actually, that there is an outlet. There's somebody that can provide the service and do these things that, you know, are probably going to be really hard to find somebody else to do them for them.
Craigslist.
Yeah.
I mean, their wife's not doing it, so.
No.
The wife's defense, and their defense, it's kind of hard to say, honey, things are going well. I see you're knitting over there. How about you shove that needle in my cock?
Yeah.
It's a hard conversation.
Right? Yeah, you know, you sound like my mom, Pip, because she was very upset at first, right? Like, I was getting that phone call at 1 in the morning every night, like, you went to college, this is not a safe environment, what are you doing? But I started telling her some of the stories, like, about this one guy his name's Barry. He likes to have his balls in cock and ball torture where you, like, tie him up with, like, this string. And then he likes to wear a dog collar and be walked around like a dog on a leash. So his mistress got him his own collar and a little dog tag that said her name on it. It said, like, her name, Slut Slave. And on the back it said, if lost, please do not return. And I told my mom this, and she was like, oh, well, I bet that just made him stay. Isn't that nice? He has a place to go where he can be accepted for who he is. It's like she did a full 180.
Wow. I mean, I at first when you said that I sound like your mother and she was disapproving, I thought, wait a minute, have you been able to hear me? But I get what you're saying, that she understands what the purpose of this is.
Yeah, like she went from being like, I mean, she still calls it the fetish place, but now she's like, well, it's nice that they have a place to go where they can be accepted and for who they are, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, right?
Well, let me ask you, you're exposed to all this interesting thing. So you see all this stuff. Does it make you want to be more experimental or more traditional in your personal life?
I mean, I'm a weirdo. I've always been a weirdo. I mean, I'm probably just as much of a weirdo. Probably no, maybe slightly more, but definitely no less. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I don't want to do insert needles in anybody's dick, but I also could. You know? Like, I don't know. I've just always been this person.
I like that.
So what's your line, Catherine? Catherine, what's your line? Because now you've said sticking needles in the dick is fine. You could. What's your line? What do you see there at the dungeon that you said, I could never do that?
Well, I don't think I mean, I'm definitely somebody who I have to want to be touching a person. Do you know what I mean? Like, these women do, like, wrestling sessions, like naked wrestling sessions with, like, old dudes.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that. Like, that's, I'm just very, like, if I want to wrestle with you, I'll wrestle with you, whatever. If I want to put the needle in your dick, I will. But, like, I don't know if I could touch somebody that I'm, like, physically repulsed by, which is why I'm not a dominatrix.
Right, you right. know? Well, that's, I mean, there is.
I can do a lot in my personal life, but not, like, to strange men, like, three times my age, you know?
So when I did my Hulk Hogan impression, that did nothing for you.
I mean, I'm not going to say it on air, but I've been thinking about it a lot.
I did it for you. Thank you, brother. What you going to do when my 80-year-old balls sag across you?
Right? I mean, I could shit on a person, no problem. They're paid $220 to shit on people.
Oh, so you're ready to be a comedy booker. I understand. So tell us about this shitting.
Oh, I mean, where do we start?
Probably with number two.
Probably with salad.
Probably with number two. I mean, like, the other day, I can't remember if I had seen you before this, but, like, this one girl, she was scheduled to do it. She agreed to do it. None of these women have to do anything they don't want to do. So they agreed to all of this. So she agreed to do it, and the guy, she was holding in her shit for 2 days, and then the guy didn't show up for the session.
Oh,
oh my God.
She was fucking furious. Yeah. She was about to, like, go take a shit, and he called me. He was like, I'm so sorry. I had an emergency. I'm coming in tomorrow. Please don't poop, you know? So she holds it in one more day, and I was like, how the fuck do you even do that?
How
like,
do
if
you?
I have to shit, I have to shit. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not a professional.
Right, exactly. She told me, like, she will do squats to push the gas out around it so it won't feel like she has to get it out. So I was like, I had no idea that was a thing, but I guess the next time I'm having diarrhea and I got to get on the subway, I'll do that.
Oh, I don't think that works the same way.
I really have no idea. I'm not a doctor, okay? I could manage a dungeon.
Disclaimer.
So she's waiting there. He's running late. She's like, I swear to God, I'm going to take a shit if he does not get here in the next 5 minutes. He gets there. So she's like dressed. She's ready. She's like, okay, great. But then he wanted to meet a couple people because in addition to the shit, he wanted to have like a cup, like a dual golden shower going on around him.
Thank you, Mr. President.
But now it's like 15 minutes of more. And she's like, I swear to fucking God, I'm just going to lose my mind. So she goes in. I guess she takes the shit, and then the other two go in, and they piss around him. And they, because there's a thing called a tip-in, where they go in for, like, 15 minutes, and they get tipped in, and then they leave, and the main girl stays. So they come out, and I was like, what's it like in there? And, like, one of them's like, oh, it's a big poop-pee party. I mean, it's everywhere. I'm like, oh, God damn it. I'm like, how long are you going to need to clean that room? Because I'm going to need it in, like, 10 minutes after he leaves. So...
How many cases of Febreze do you have on hand at any given time?
You're not going to like this. We use a lot of alcohol.
So would I.
Yeah, so would I.
Alcohol. I mean, you'd think bleach would be involved somewhere, but, you know.
But no, no
clean,
bleach?
Though. We do have, like, a cleaner who goes in every day, but, like, you know. Yeah, it's a little.
I gotta tell you, if I'm into that whole scene, I have to be the first appointment. That would be my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like on my one Wednesday of the month, I'm your first appointment.
I mean, we can make that happen, Davin. Just give me a call.
I have. What do you think this is about? I don't give a shit about an interview. I'm trying to get it scheduled.
Trying to get the 805 in.
Yes.
I'll get you a gift certificate. Yeah. You know what I would love to do? We do rent the rooms out to, like, person. Like, if you're a couple, right? Like, nobody professional. And I like rented the room out to like a couple gay dudes, like a couple whatever. I would totally take somebody there that I wanted to fuck and fuck them in one of these rooms because they're crazy. I mean, there's like a lot of cool shit going on in these rooms.
Are they themed?
There's like 10 of them, huh?
What are some of the themes of the rooms?
Well, so we have two medical rooms, which are doctor's offices. Which I went into a doctor's office recently, and I took a look around. I was like, oh no, no, I gotta get out of here. It's way too close. So there's that. There's the wrestling room, which is just a padded wrestling room. There's a cross-dressing room, which is very domestic. It's just, like, very flowery and a big oriental rug and lots of mirrors. But the ones I really like are the dungeon rooms.
Yeah.
And there's one, there's, like, a, they call it the leather room. It has, like, a suspended hanging cage that you could, like, fear for your life inside of. And they got a lot of crops and stuff in there and weird masks. There's the Victorian room, which is like the deluxe room. You get like, there's a cage you can go in, there's a sex swing, there's a wheel you get strapped in, a whole fucking, oh, there's like a stockade and like a horse you can ride. I mean,
a horse?
Wow.
I hope it's not Mr. Ed. I don't want him fucking yakking at anybody about what's going on in there.
Well, it's like a weird sex horse. I don't know. It's crazy. My favorite room is the blue room, though, because there's so much shit you can do in there. And it's very creepy, and it feels very sinister. I mean, you can get locked up. Like, you know, they have things that suspend, so you can be, like, you know, cuffed into that and, like, cuffed down to the bed. And, you know, they have all this stuff you can get hit with and shit. I've learned how to, like, properly flog a person and, hit them with a crop. And, you know, these women, they do have to know things about the internal organs because you could, like, seriously damage somebody if you didn't do it right, you know?
Oh, yeah, if you're smacking them with a crop and you're hitting the wrong spots, you could really hurt, do some internal damage.
Yeah, I mean, there was a guy who came in. He wanted something called trampling. And but, like, on the phone, when I was taking the call, I was like, you know, what kind of session? And he was like, well, I don't want to say it out loud. And I was like, I just need to know because, like, I need to tell you if the girl will do it or not. And he was like, okay, well, I want trampling. I want her to jump from like the arm of a couch onto my back in boots. And I was like, oh my God.
It's called being a parent. Anybody who has little kids.
Happened. We did it. She did it. I mean, he walked out of there, so I hope it's all okay. I mean, I have no idea.
Well, did she have any experience doing this before? How'd she know she wasn't going to cripple him?
I don't know. I mean, I know that particular girl has been doing this for several years. So I wouldn't have, like, felt comfortable sending like somebody who's like, you know, one of these millennials is like, I'm gonna be a dominatrix for a month, you know.
Oh yeah, no.
But she, you know, she had experience with it, but I'm still just like, how much, I mean, how do you know it's all gonna work out, you know, when it's called trampling, you know?
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, I'm just picturing this. I would cripple the guy, but I was just wondering how people do that kind of training. Like, how do they pick this up?
Trampling school.
You're
right. You know, the most popular girl there right now, and I say that because she's kind of new, but she's also like 19. And when I interviewed her and hired her, she was like, I've been doing this since I was 15. And I was like, I am sort of sorry to hear that. What does that even mean? You know, but she's just like super experienced. And yet she is like way younger than I am, but knows how to do all this shit.
Do the girls seem like, some of them seem like they enjoy the work, like this is what they really, really want to do, or some of them it's just a paycheck?
You know what's interesting? I've talked to a lot of them, and there's ones that they're lifers. They love what they do. I mean, it's one of them who is like, again, she's been there like 4 years. She, you know, has a boyfriend who she doesn't fuck. And she's like, I just like fucking dudes in the ass.
Wow. You know?
She's like, that's just what I like to do. And she's just very good at her job. I mean, even the girls who I know that are like, I'm doing this to pay through school, have like an interest in certain things. Like, I forgot what this one thing is called, but it's basically these glass balls. You put on this thing you plug in, and it kind of electrocutes people. And she's going to school for chemistry, so she loves doing that because she's like, it's a lot of fun to see this and that. And I'm like, okay. So it's like everybody seems to enjoy some faction of it. or they wouldn't be there, you know?
Wow, I think I know what her thesis paper is going to be on.
Right? Yeah. And, I mean, surprisingly, just, like, normal art. I mean, like, they basically sit there and talk a lot of shit, you know, about people who are assholes. I mean, last night I was working, and for me, this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. You know, considering all of the insane shit they do and see and smell there, we were watching Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and, like, you know, something exploded at some point, and the collective screaming from, like, 12 women over, like, a zit, you know what I mean? Like, popping. I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, you're all, like, dressed in pleather screaming at this, but, like, somebody is in there, like, getting tickled and pooping on somebody, you know?
The irony.
Yeah, right? I'm just like, okay, this is what did it.
This stuff is fascinating. Thank you.
Catherine, any comedy gigs you want to book? I mean, any comedy gigs you want to plug after this? I mean, you can. If there's anything you want people to come out to.
I mean, I would just plug my Instagram because I put everything on there, you know, because okay. It's all over the place.
All right.
So I would just say, if you like me, follow me on Instagram. I put all my shows there. My name is you. That's spelled EW, girl, YOU, nasty.
Very good.
So that's you, girl, you nasty.
All right, Catherine. Thank you for enlightening us. I appreciate you taking time. I'm sure I will see you soon in the city. I hope those jokes we worked on, I hope if you brought them to stage, they worked for you.
Just trying to make fisting funny, so.
I think you can. I think if anybody can make fisting funny, you can. We were working on a poop cake joke, as I recall.
Oh, that one too. Yeah, you know, there's a wealth of material, but thanks for having me.
All right, Catherine. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, have a good one.
You
bye.
Too. Bye.
Bye. Wow, that was great, actually. I learned a lot just then. I was, like, wondering how she does this, not how she does it necessarily, but, I mean, how she gets people, you know, what she experiences as the job. I would still like to speak to one of the girls that does the job itself. I mean, she's working as the sort of...
I got one of them.
What, you know one of them?
Yep. Waitress at a comedy club I was at not too long ago.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Oh, my God. That was really interesting.
It was. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
Hey, Joe.
I listened to a bit of the show coming up because I was running so late. First of all, the issue between JJ and I probably will not last any longer. Just a quick story. There was a comic, Patty Vitale, who we all love very dearly. Patty suddenly passed away. She was battling cancer.
Oh, God.
Suddenly passed away. So Rob Bartlett, a comic, famous, used to be on I Miss a Show, announced that she passed away.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote, oh, my God. JJ wrote under it, is this true? Blah blah blah. I wrote, JJ, swords down, keep me posted on this.
yeah.
Then he wrote back, I go, I kind of found the information, and then JJ wrote on my IM'd me where the wake is going to be on Friday night, and I wrote back to JJ, because I think this kind of shook both of us, and I said, and we're actually doing a benefit, we're part of a benefit in 2 weeks for another comic's wife that's very sick.
Oh.
So I wrote JJ, and I go, by the way, I go, we're doing the same show. I go, we need to give each other a hug and sit down and discuss this. This needs to end. I think what happened to Patty kind of shook us.
That'd be nice.
You know, Patty, you know, so it's life's too short. And I go, JJ, we've been friends. You know, we're all friends, man. We got to stop this. And he goes, agreed. So, the whole, you know, you probably won't be seeing any more.
Well, you guys are almost adults. So it's,
I don't, you know, and you want to know something? You know, you always, you know, you guys always go, you're a mean, awful person. I could be. I don't.
The work speaks for itself.
I hurt when I do. Actually, I do. I don't. Like,
I sense joy. I sense joy when you and JJ sink your fangs
into each other. Still, no, but I don't walk away from it because he's not some dude that I don't know that just happens to be saying stuff. He was a friend.
Yeah,
you know,
people wouldn't get that reading you two going back and forth.
I understand
across
that.
People's page to page.
I understand that, but we need, you know, it. You know, I think with Patty's passing, it kind of shook me up.
Hopefully, something good comes out of.
By the way, and also coming here late, it's. horrible. I got done at court at 4 o'clock, but I'm out of Riverhead, and people don't know where Riverhead is. It's at the foot of the Hamptons, so I'm up here, and I essentially came from the Hamptons in rush hour traffic.
Well, we appreciate you coming here.
Yeah, thank you. That was bad.
Thank you, Joe.
Did you hear how I had to scold the audience and the children?
Briefly, yeah.
We're not gonna recap. An audience had to be put in their place, and they were.
They were.
And there you go.
All right, so I'm glad you're here for a little comics in the news.
Yes.
And now it's time for comics in the news.
All right, so I guess everybody's talking about the correspondence dinner.
Oh yeah,
they do it every year. It's when when a lot of the politicians and the media. And before President Trump, the president.
And the press corps.
And the press corps. That's the media.
Yeah, the media. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
All get together and celebrate each other. And, you know, usually the president roasts the press. Mm-hmm. And then a comedian comes up and roasts the president.
Right.
Stuff like that. That's usually how it happens.
Usually.
So last year, President Trump doesn't want to do that. But it's not really surprising. Humor's not really his thing. Well, not intentionally, anyway.
Yeah.
But although he thinks he's funny, he certainly can't take it. So he hasn't been there. He's been, you know, he's held rallies those nights. You know, he's going for the love on those nights. He doesn't want to be with people that might feel the same for him as a campaign rally.
Right.
So he, you know, that's what he's done, which is fine. He's out in the camp. He's doing his thing. So anyway. So, you know, I feel like every year this winds up being a big deal.
Yes, it seems like it.
Which is why I'm like a little tired of it, but I feel like every year I guess we have to do it. So I heard how awful, how vulgar, how inappropriate this was. Because I was working on Saturday and I hadn't had a chance and I really wasn't going to watch it. But I just heard how awful, even from the left, this was terrible. And of course from the right, this was terrible. So I'm like, all right, let me watch this fucking thing.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, what, did Michelle Wolf turn into Dice Clay? Hickory dickory dock. I'm fucking Sarah Sanders with my cock. I mean, wait, what happened? I came all over Kelly Conway.
I saw her.
I'm like, what are we in for? Yeah. Where the delicate flowers on the left and the right are in full bloom together.
Full bloom.
They're full bloom with their righteous indignation about what has been unleashed upon us.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I got to watch women. I mean, because I remember her from Comedy Central. She was a correspondent. I never thought she was particularly great on Comedy Central.
I don't remember her from that.
I found her a little irritating. She was fine on Comedy Central. So I'm like, all right, let me watch this. Let me. I'm assuming somebody was sacrificed. I'm assuming bestiality took place on this dais because Mika Brzezinski is losing her shit on Morning Joe and the right and Laura Ingraham and everybody's all fucking upset. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be some shit.
Oh yeah, they clearly fucked a goat before they sacrificed it and barbecued it,
which I want to see, and I'm jealous I didn't think of first. So I watched.
Come over Saturday.
I watched it. It was fine. It's nothing more over the top than shit we've seen before. I thought she did a fine job with it. I thought some of the stuff hit. I thought some of the stuff missed. I thought she took shots at both sides. So I don't see why anybody would get like, oh, she was anti this or anything. No, she took shots at Hillary and she took some shots at Donald. She did not take any shots at Barron. She did not take any shots of Melania. She took shots of people that should expect to get some incoming on an event like this.
Yeah, you'd think.
So that was my first response upon seeing it. Joe, did you think it was funny at all?
It was absolutely fabulous.
Good boy.
It was very, very, good. I mean, Mike Pence is Anderson Cooper if he wasn't gay. That's fucking
that's
hysterical.
So
I'm sitting in jury duty. I'm like, everybody's quiet. I had to like bite my lip and let my ass off.
But did you hear people like the righteous?
Absolutely. 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 And it's when it's the same thing when you do a corporate gig. Look,
hey, that's what I said.
Right. Now, you've done political fundraisers before, right?
You do a
political fundraiser and you go up and you're not expecting to get laughs because people are afraid to laugh because they don't want other people to think ill of them.
And they all take themselves way too seriously.
And they take,
that person's watching me. If I laugh at this, they'll think these things about me.
Right. Everybody got thrown under the bus.
She was equal opportunity. The president calls this a disgrace. Is he familiar with some of his work?
I'm not going to debate that, but it was. We don't have time.
I'm just telling you what he said.
I understand what he said, but we don't have time for that.
Oh, this time.
We'll make time.
That's part of it.
And we're not done yet for this whole discussion, but everybody's got something to say. Now, the simple reason is you're hearing an outcry is that everybody with their little own agenda has something to say, including us. This is what we do. And I saw the story and I'm like, I got to get in touch with Davin. Yeah. We really got to do this. As I'm writing, we got to do, so we're doing this.
Now, we'll talk about Nazi Pug next week.
Right. So basically, and the whole thing was with Sarah Sanders, what she said about Sarah Sanders and blah, 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 blah. When she got to Sarah Sanders.
All right. You're going to say?
Yeah. When she got to Sarah Sanders, it was, she burns facts and she helps make a perfect smoky eyes.
Yeah. Well, she also compared her to a softball. When I see Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I expect her to choose up sides for a softball game. So she goes like the coach.
And that was funny.
And, well, I thought so. And she compared her to a dowdy looking actress. Somebody's made up to look.
But that's funny too. Because she was very quick.
No, that's not what that meant. She was comparing her to the actress who was on The Handmaid's Tale, who's the person who, yells at all of the women who are subservient.
Maybe if you know the show of Nigo, I see a resemblance.
No. Yeah, no. It was more about what the show's
That's
about.
That's what you think. You don't know that. Mm. But either way, nobody's outraged that she called Chris Christie a barrel.
Yeah,
nobody's outraged that she made fun of Mitch McConnell's fucking throat. I mean, she...
Right. And she wrote... Now, basically, what she said, she says she burns facts...
she does.
For perfect smoky eyes.
Yeah.
That's the eyeshadow thing.
Now, I didn't know what that meant. And basically what it is, it's a term for women's makeup, well applied, nicely smudged, right?
Yeah. It's a compliment.
Now, the only thing, I'm going to put my Nana shawl on, and the only critique I would make, and it's just, I don't have a problem with it, the only thing I would make, she said, well, maybe she made the comment, smoky eye, well, maybe she burns facts with it, maybe she burns facts with it, maybe it's lies. And then she said, it's probably lies.
She could have left the joke alone.
She could have just left it there.
That's fine.
This whole thing was 20 minutes, okay? That's the only thing she could have left out. Outrage over Sarah Sanders, that whole clip was 21 minutes. At 14 minutes in, only for a minute and 32 seconds, she made fun of Sarah Sanders.
Yeah, the way people were going on about Sarah Sanders, I thought she was just like eviscerated. I'm like, oh, this is it?
No.
I mean, they were really not terrible things.
And
to,
you know what? I haven't heard Sarah complain about it, so good for Sarah.
The puss on her face.
But that's fun. These are not fun.
They're not entertainers. They're not comics.
That's fun.
Where if you go to a roast and you sit at a roast, you
know.
Asshead.
Oh,
you
should know.
But you laugh your balls off.
Yeah.
So here we go. So the president calls it a disgrace. I really think these events lose their balance when you don't have the president giving it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine without the president. But, I mean, you telling me this guy can't fucking get some writers and just actually punch up his fucking tweets and read them in front of everybody?
You know what? I while it was on the YouTube page, they also had the last Obama speech that they made. Mm-hmm. You know?
At the last... He was good at those.
He was very good.
Yeah, he was good.
But... I get a sense where Obama is in with them. You know what I'm saying? Even though that they would criticize him, I mean, it's them. You know,
no,
it's
I think
all
it's
of
just
them.
I think it's just different outlooks on. I think you're not. I think Obama has a sense of humor about himself. He's done a number of things that were funny. He did things with John Boehner that were funny,
right? Yeah. And I got you on that. But even though he can make fun of himself, and like I said, you get a sense it's them. The reporters, the president, it's them. This group. I feel Trump is trying to distance himself from that. I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying it's wrong.
He called Fox and Friends for a half an hour chit-chat. Fox News is it. That's not distancing yourself. Wake up. Who am I going to call? Let me talk to Ducey.
From that event, because it's not directed to his agenda.
No, I don't think. I just think he doesn't want to be made fun of. I think he did the roast once on Comedy Central. Said enough of this shit. I had the fucking situation making fun of me. Fuck that.
Could be that too.
I mean, listen, Trump's giving.
It's like an overview.
You never go, oh, that Trump, he can really take a joke. Nobody's ever said that.
No.
Nobody's ever said, except for his most avid supporters, that Trump's really funny. Humor's not his thing.
He'll be the first one to tell you.
Humor.
Well, no, I think he thinks he's funny. But
yeah. Well, Sarah certainly does.
Yes, she does. I mean, I think it adds balance if the president is there and gives it a little bit too.
Yes, I think that
he
that was really missing.
Do it, and I think his fans would really appreciate seeing him do it.
Absolutely,
because he would have good writers.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he would hire some nice liberals to write some awful shit about other liberals.
Right,
would do very well.
He hires only the best people, comedy writers.
They would write him. They would write him a great thing, and he would come. He would come off so much better.
Don't think that the civilians at those all-star comedy roasts, that those people are writing those jokes. You know, like actors and actresses that aren't necessarily known for comedy.
Oh, they have writers.
Even comics have writers.
Yeah, so exactly. So it's like, why wouldn't Trump do that and go up and do his little zings at them?
So he called a disgrace. Now, this guy, a couple of days ago, he's talking to our Olympians and the Paralympians. This is true. Did you see this, Joe?
Oh, I heard about it.
Okay. He invites the Olympians and the Paralympians over to the White House. Very nice. Traditional thing, very nice.
Right.
And he's telling the Paralympians how impressed he is. And then he's, you know, it's really amazing. And he says, you know, I watch as much as I could because it's really hard to watch. I mean,
wrong thing to say, but he's right. I'm not defending him, but he's right.
Talk about disgrace. I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. Just read the script. Just don't look at them. Read the fucking script, stupid.
Oh, my God. It's like, you know, it's really nice when those little cripples get out there and try their best.
But that was the feel.
That's the feel. That's the feel.
You can only watch 20 minutes of this shit.
So there's only so much I can take of the president calling things disgraceful.
Really?
I mean, it gets funny, though.
Really? You would never have the balls to say that to a bunch of Paralympians. Although I hope you do
they
so we get the story.
They couldn't catch me.
No, that's all you have. You'd never work again. I lost the former owner of Rogue because I was sticking up Rogue Radio because he thought she was hacked. I didn't think Michelle Wolf was hacked at all.
That is absolutely not hacked.
She didn't go after orange skin, which everybody does. Didn't go after small hands. She took the angle of
those jokes were very, very well crafted jokes.
Yeah,
and very, very good. Very, very good. Yeah, I didn't sit there and go, really? I mean, very, very good jokes. You know, obviously she probably had help, but she had really good writers.
Yeah.
And she had a really good selection. Even the one, I forgot what the joke was, but even the long one where it's a really long delivery and stuff like that, the kind
of
tag, she kind of made a save on it, you know, but it was, and a very clever save. So I thought, and like I said, with the exception of that one little schnitzel nana critique, I think it was a very, very good job.
I do too. I mean, the people going, "Oh, the filth!" I'm sorry, but have you seen comedy shows before? Have you seen?
Well, she even said that.
Comedians?
She goes, "I don't think you know who you hired."
Yeah, really.
Like, you
got
to know.
Homework.
It's your job. She's doing what she's done in her stand-up.
Yeah,
you know she's coming from The Daily Show. You know she's a liberal. You know she's a young woman. There's plenty of footage on her. It's your fault if you don't know what you're getting.
When everybody's panties got in a twist when they realize that Colbert isn't really that persona that he was portraying on the Colbert Report, when they really realized that he was coming for the president with a lot of stinging stuff and he wasn't really the conservative persona, they should have every year said, now who's this person? What's their body of work?
But you want to know something? It's kind of good that this happened in the sense as a talking point on how bad this scene with comedy is right now, where you can't say anything because somebody somewhere is going to get offensive.
Yeah. You did hear, I guess you didn't hear, I did yell fuck repeatedly at small children on Saturday.
Yeah, and... and
talk about disgraceful.
Funny. But the thing about it is that comedy's job is to take bullshit. People put bullshit behind curtains. All right? And it's a comic's job to rip those curtains down.
Well, that's your opinion on it. I tend to agree with it, but some other people say a comic's job is just to make people laugh. That's that, you know, they don't want the type of stuff.
It depends on who it depends.
It's all subjective.
It depends who your heroes were. My heroes were Carlin,
right?
Kennison, those were the guys that ripped the curtains down in front of bullshit.
But other people prefer Seinfeld and Cosby,
Larry the Cable Guy, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's
fun.
If that's what they like, but you know, it depends on who influences are.
I have a problem with people who are attacking Michelle Wolf for making personal attacks in a fucking comedy roast, but then like stick by the president when he makes personal attacks all the time. He, you know, he insinuates and he's disgraceful in any way, which is fine.
Really, it's like Rosie's a pig.
Carly Fiorina, who would want to be with our
face? You know, the
former
the
Miss Universe,
US,
Miss Piggy. Yeah,
Miss
listen.
You know, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, grab their pussies. It's like he does not have a problem with any.
No,
of this.
So I have a really hard time seeing these pundits go on there. What a disgrace! What Michelle Wolf said. This was more tame than a Saturday Twitter rant from the president. You know, you get him going on a good Twitter storm, 20 fucking tweets. He's going to press some buttons.
Yeah, really. Well, the other thing was, you know, Sarah Huckabee was on television saying to the press corps, you know, you should get a sense of humor. They're nice. And it's like, oh, really? Well, I saw the puss on you when you're sitting up there on the dais while she's roasting you. I don't think that you've actually taken your own advice here.
So the person who put the event together says, you know, in retrospect, maybe we shouldn't have hired her. How about you do your fucking research?
Really?
Yeah. Michelle Wolf did nothing wrong. If you hire Jay Leno, perfectly acceptable. Hire Ellen. Hire Jerry Seinfeld.
Jimmy Fallon.
I mean, I don't know if any of them would do the gig, but you should know what you're fucking hiring. You hired a comic, you should expect to get that comic.
And then don't walk it back. That's so lame.
I thought what really impressed me about Michelle Wolf is, because it did remind me of a corporate event. Those things are very tough when you're playing that type of room and people don't want to.
It's a lose-lose situation.
She was unwavering.
Yeah.
She was on flat. Listen, I've bailed on stuff. Go, all right, this isn't working. Try this. A humada, humada, humada. It's very unnerving. And this was way harder than that.
Ooh.
And she stuck by it and she hasn't apologized. You know what?
She shouldn't have. I don't know much about her. You know, this is the first time I actually heard about her, you know.
She was on The Daily Show. She was a writer a long time for The Daily Show. Then she became an on-air personality. Now she has her own show on Netflix.
Yeah. All right.
She's a stand-up comic.
See, I had heard about this on the radio, and they were commenting that, oh, you know what, they were laughing until a certain point, and then all of a sudden everybody stopped laughing. That is qualitatively not true.
That's what when I'm watching Morning Joe, they're like, you could hear the audible gas. Oh, no. I mean, there were some things that didn't hit, and there were people who looked uncomfortable, but pretty consistently, she was getting laughs. I mean, was everybody laughing? No, probably not, but you're not going to do that in that room.
No, well, on the video, when they cut to the audience, you would see some people laughing like, holy shit, that's funny, even though I'm not supposed to laugh.
No, there was a guy to her left on the dais that did not look pleased.
You could see a lot of pusses in the audience.
There were pusses,
They're a button-down, stiff-ass audience.
Don't hire a comic. Yes. So say, don't hire a comic. You don't want a comic. Hire a clown. You don't want comedy. And I tell this to people when they call me for gigs. You really don't want a comic. What you're asking for, you want something much more tame.
Yeah.
Because you think you want comedy.
You want
people think they want. Yeah, a lot of people think they want comedy. Oh, this would be great for. No, it wouldn't.
No.
Oh, No.
Trust me, no.
You know, and for
it's
this.
Like, I could take your money, but I want you to know this is going to go horribly wrong. I've said that to people.
And you're going to disappoint the people that you're supposed to be entertaining and give a good time to.
This isn't going to go well for anyone.
No.
But if you really want me to pay me to do this, I'll show up. I'll do it. But it won't work.
It's not going to be good.
And like I said, I thought it was very, very well written and very good. And it upsets some people. That's comedy's job.
Yeah,
in my opinion, you know, the way I, you know, from my influences, that's comedy's job.
Yeah, you have to show the emperor doesn't have any clothes on.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to get to the stuff that really annoyed me, because I kind of expect the people that we've talked about to complain.
Okay. Because
that's kind of what they do.
Yeah.
To be, oh, Mika Brzezinski, fuck you, by the way. I mean, she's a liberal, but she's like, you know, oh, in these times, you know, I don't think the media should be doing this. Why can't they, you know, it's not, now's not a time to let, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's always a time. You know what? Stop it. This is why people hate liberals, because of that shit.
Yeah.
And people hate conservatives because they're hypocritical. Both need to fucking look in the mirror and stop taking yourselves so fucking seriously.
And both sides have been having a field day with that for the past couple of days since
the
weekend.
Oh, my God. Well, it is like the Nana left. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We're going to hurt some feelings.
Yeah.
Which I have a problem with the Trump fans that think she's so wrong. It's like, wait a minute, I thought you liked the guy because he tells it like he is and you hate snowflakes. What is it?
Right. Which one is it?
People like it until people like comedy until it's a target that hits too close to home.
And for the Trump fans that are getting upset, they're wrong, because if it was one sided, all right, enough. We get everybody, and I mean everybody, got thrown under that fucking bus Saturday.
Jake Tapper having an orgasm. And we'll be back. I mean, she went into the whole thing about Rachel Maddow.
She was like,
everybody got thrown
culture.
Under that damn bus.
Everybody.
She did great.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. All right. So this is where now I get really upset. Because, like I said, I expect those people to bitch. So we get some well-known comedians weighing in. First, the late Dennis Miller. I say late because I didn't know if you know he was still alive. I figured once Bill O'Reilly went off the air, that was the end of Dennis Miller. Because
oh
I what?
The late Dennis Miller.
Well, right. Who talks about Dennis Miller?
We are now.
Yes, we are. Somebody wanted to get
attention. Us.
Yeah. What, was that your neighbor?
Yeah. So this is my Jewish friend Dennis Miller
of
the Millers.
Of the Millers. You know the Millers.
No, you know the Millers. They brought over a pot roast when you were ill.
Oh, I remember that. They with the shiva. They brought the cookies. Yeah.
They brought a card. Very big words in the card.
Just got that. Hysterical.
Nice.
All right. So this is what Dennis Miller had to say about Michelle Wolf's performance. What a horrid human being Michelle Wolf is. I'm going to read up on her over the next couple days, and I'll have a few brutally mean jokes about her by Wednesday. He tweeted early.
Of course he does. He has to find the connection to a Sophocles.
He has to get his thesaurus. Brutally horrid human being?
Really? No.
From that?
That.
Did Michelle rape somebody during the speech? Okay. Because some of the people in the room did.
There was some. There was some baby killing, I think.
Yeah.
Well, she joked about that, too.
That took balls. That was a ballsy move.
I don't know if that would have been my list.
I tip my hat to her
balls
on that.
Balls of steel, Michelle.
Right on, lady. Good girl. Yeah, because a lot of me included would have backed down on doing that one.
And dead babies, maybe not. Not this crap.
Right on. But the whole thing is, like I said, everybody has their agenda. Dennis Miller is on the right, and you know I'm on the right side of the aisle too.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis has his.
Here's the difference. You're a comedian.
Let me finish.
Can I finish?
You know that's his deal. You know that's his agenda. Everybody has their agenda. He's wrong. And he's absolutely wrong.
Because he's not a comedian. Can we just say Dennis Miller is no longer a comedian?
Right.
Can we put him to sleep? He's not a comedian.
Not anymore.
When was the last time he was funny?
I don't
9/11.
Recall.
9/11.
Before 9/11.
Before
9/11. I don't remember.
I mean, he changed his views. I agree. And as a matter of fact, I wish he would do those debates again with Bill Maher. I would love to see. He used to do a couple of debates with Bill Maher, which I'd love to go sit and watch.
I don't think Dennis Miller has the skin for it anymore, judging from this reaction.
Yeah, but like I said, everybody's got their way to make their money off of this, and Dennis Miller's agenda is right wing.
Three days to write a fucking joke
because he's got to figure out how the Clophocles is going to wind up in this.
He just admitted I can't write jokes.
Yeah.
I can't think on the fly.
But you want to know something? I don't. For him to say what was the quote again? Please.
Let's see. What a horrid human being Michelle Wolf is. I'm going to read up on her over the next couple of days, and I'll have a few brutally mean jokes about her by Wednesday.
If he's doing that tongue-in-cheek, it's funny. I don't think he was. But brutally horrible person. As a comic, and as somebody like him on commentary, to see her do a set or you know a roast, not a roast, but a
kind of,
you know, kind of like that, you know, the bit she did. You hang her hat to. There's some things I didn't like. There's some things I'm like, really? This, but as a comedian,
yeah.
The writing was crisp. It was very good. And in his, and like I said, a comic's agenda, you know, is to rip the curtains away from bullshit.
Yeah.
As somebody is Dennis Miller, whose job has been ripping curtains away from what he perceives bullshit.
Right.
He's hypocritical in his statement.
He's not that guy now. He's the get-off-my-lawn guy. Dennis Miller has become the get-off-my-lawn guy, which is never a good look for comedians unless you're Walter Jeff Dunham's puppet.
But some facets of my act, I'm the get-off-my-lawn guy.
Right, but that's not yes, you are.
But I...
But you haven't gotten to the point where you're criticizing other comics.
But I'm not going to sit in my high horse and watch great writing, and because I'm a right-winger, I'm going to go, that was deplorable. No, it was crisp, very good writing.
When you get to that point...
Yeah.
Where you're looking at other comedy like that, and you become the get off my lawn guy for comedy, that's when you are no longer part of this show, because I have no use for you then. Because then there's no talking. If you're that far entrenched on your team, yeah. I got no use for you. If you can't look at something objectively and go, well, I don't agree with it, but it was done well, then I got no use for you.
Yeah, no. You know, comedy doesn't have any use for that person. The neighborhood doesn't have any use for that guy.
You can criticize the jokes. You can say the jokes aren't funny.
Right, of
course. That's fair.
Like I said, I had my comments on a couple of things.
That's fine.
For the most part, it was fantastic.
And then it gets worse.
Uh-oh.
Roseanne Barr weighed in.
Oh, no.
Wasn't a fat joke. I wrote that.
Huddle.
Yeah, I see what you did.
So she said they use women to bully women. And I actually tweeted at Roseanne. Roseanne, she needs to understand, equal treatment means you get made fun of just like everybody else. Equal pay, equal opportunity, equal ball busting. Unless she thinks, of course, that Huckabee Sanders and Kellyanne Conway are too fragile to handle jokes. What is she fucking talking about?
What is she talking about?
And I think I know what she's talking about. Once again, people have their agenda to keep their brand going. Okay, now Roseanne's show came out and it's taken this right wing twist, and I feel that she is making these comments to keep that right-wing agenda going, to have the extreme right-wingers go,
right.
Yeah, right on, Roseanne. We're going to tune in. And that's the way I feel.
Here's a disappointing thing.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I used to really look up to her as a performer. I think her whole career has been a put-on. Because as Bill put – now, Bill Maher likes Roseanne a lot. They're friends. But he pointed out, it wasn't that long ago, Roseanne was a socialist. How do you go from a socialist – for years, she was a socialist – to now supporting Trump. How do you make that?
Kids in college and a mortgage.
Right. I understand. Yeah. That, exactly.
And I'm just saying.
No,
I'm not arguing. Yeah.
And then with some of the other things that she brought up, I think it hammers your point home more. I think her whole fucking career has been a put on. A brilliant put on. A brilliant move by a businesswoman. But she's a fraud.
How many times do we go on the road and we'll sit and talk with people and, you know, we'll talk about our acts and stuff like that and how it if you like our acts, look at our show. Basically, Joe goes up there and he says his right wing thing. I go up there and say my middle of the road things and my blah blah blah. And if you like, well, you
my
guys
blah,
were
blah,
great.
Blah.
You guys were great. Blah blah blah. Well, tune in. We're on 6:30 because we're what we are discussing is pursuant to our agenda to push our show.
Yeah, really.
And that's what they're essentially doing here.
So, well, that's to your point that what she's doing is pushing her agenda to push her show.
Exactly. Right.
But I'm authentic on stage to a degree.
But you'll still get, we'll still hand out the show CDs and go,
right.
Oh, you were good on that part. Well, we discuss a lot of this stuff on our show. Tune in, 6:30.
Yeah, but after you watch my comedy show, go, oh, wow, I didn't know he was a Nazi. I'm not making that type of change. The things I'm talking about on the stage, I'm talking about here.
Right.
But still, we're not talking about the past. She reinvented herself. This is where she is now. She took this twist on the show. The show is getting ratings. This is going on, and she's making this statement, taking this stance. Maybe she doesn't believe in it, but it's like I said, it's in my opinion, that's what she's doing. And the same thing, if you go to see Davin and I at a show and we're talking with the fans afterwards and stuff like that. Oh, I like what Joe said. Oh, what Davin said was really, really good. Blah, blah, blah. Well, if you want to hear more, please see the show. It's, you know,
yeah, promotion.
Pushing the agenda towards a show.
So Roseanne continues.
Uh-oh.
First rule of comedy, never target someone more famous than you who is in the audience. You will lose the entire crowd. So is Roseanne telling us we're supposed to punch down?
Yeah.
Because that's bullying. She just railed against bullying before. Right. Now she's telling to punch down. People come to see comedians say the unexpected. Anybody can make fun of the handicapped people, somebody who's less than. That's the base. That's the easy thing to do. It's the hard thing to take somebody that's above you and bring them down to your level. As Joe said, you're tearing the curtain away. You're trying to make, hey, we're all the same here. Nobody, that's fucking comedy.
But that's who, you know, I'm sorry, but that's who's there. These are the correspondents. These are the people that get goofed on.
And by the way, Michelle Wolf is the lowest person on that totem pole there. Out of all the influence, Michelle Wolf has the lowest influence in that room.
I mean, if you're busting the waiter, look at the way this guy pours water. What the fuck? You know, I mean, all right. What do
all
you
right, well, the waiter has less influence than Michelle
Wolf. But I'm not saying the waiter. But no, it's like, but these are the people that were there.
Yeah.
It's a correspondence dinner. You're making light of everybody involved in the whole process of the political party, the agenda, and who reports on it. It's the whole night to goof on it, to make fun of it. This is what she was doing. If she's making fun of Kellyanne Conway or Sarah Sanders.
She even said, I don't want Kellyanne Conway to be hurt, just stuck under a tree. Yeah. Don't want she even like, I don't want her to be hurt, just stuck.
And then I agree.
I wouldn't mind if Kellyanne got stuck.
You know?
Just and trapped.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, everybody got thrown under the bus. If it was a one-sided thing, boy, there would be one hell of an argument tonight.
Oh, yeah, there
but
would
But it
be.
Wasn't.
But even if it was one-sided, it. Because you know what? You always go after the power, the party in power.
But
it,
we could have had a... But why were we debating about something that didn't happen?
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but you
mean,
know what I'm saying.
But to Devin's point, I mean, that's one of the things that you always say here is that, you know, whenever you're in the barrel here, the chat room goes crazy because they're like, oh, you know, the boss is in trouble, you know.
Nobody likes that.
Everybody loves
the boss.
It.
Especially the boss.
Yeah, you're the only
just
one
the minions.
Don't you forget it.
Isolate that.
Second rule of comedy, Joe, and I hope you pay attention to this. Comedy comes from love, not from hate. If you feel hate, we won't get laughs. Who is she, fucking Yoda?
That's wrong. Comedy comes.
Totally wrong.
At least my act. Comedy doesn't come from hate. It comes from anger. Anger at things.
Yes.
Anger at things.
Comedy can come from a lot of places. But my question to be Roseanne was, how much love for our country did you have when you were singing the national anthem and you grabbed your crotch and spit? I don't think Lady Liberty was feeling the love with that. Nobody said, oh, she really loves America and now. What is she fucking talking about?
She reinvented herself.
Well, she should go back to who she was. Because this version sucks.
Yeah, but, this version sucks.
And I'm not talking about playing a conservative. I don't care about that. I watched the show. I said I would watch the show, and I'll tell you, I think it's getting better and better.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the show. I don't
care.
But she
invented herself, and this is the brand, and she's trying to.
Well, the brand is an asshole.
I wasn't at the focus group meeting. I'm just telling you. You know what I'm saying. Know what I'm saying?
I had some notes here.
Well, they're in front of you, stupid. Read them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the audience doesn't know where the jokes come from. They don't know if you love them or hate them.
No.
They don't know. Sometimes they might ask you afterwards, is that what you really
think? Listen to me. I heard the show on the way up, and you were making comments between, like, what JJ was saying to me and, you know, the whole thing. Funny is funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the rule. That's why I gave him credit on that
funny.
Oxygen one.
Yeah. But
have you heard it before?
No.
All right, then it's fucking funny. She laughed.
I didn't think it was funny.
Well, no, because you were the target. If I said that to you in the middle of this show, you would have given me credit for that.
But but also, and it's an old thing when we were on the road and I made a wrong turn and I go, what do I look like, Burt Reynolds? And he rattles off, no, Burt Reynolds is handsome and can drive. That joke was, I almost slammed into a pole because I was laughing so fucking hard.
That might be in the TV show.
You know, so yeah, we were saying about that. But, you know, so it's like the joke was totally against me. Brilliant. I was paid by and immediate.
Yeah.
So yeah, if there's a joke again, and I think it's fine, believe me.
Funny trumps all.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that. They suck. Anyway. Yeah. They do. The third rule of comedy from Roseanne, the comic has to be the asshole, not the audience. So I tweeted, I go, that Don Rickles always made the audience the asshole, and he was brilliant.
Yeah.
It depends on your character on stage. Dice makes the audience see it. Look at this guy over here.
Right.
You know,
if this was if it was Saturday night comedy show and she's headlining and it's a In a way, yeah. You know, sometimes you got to make sure you're the butt of it, or, you know.
Lisa Lampanelli attacks an audience.
If you're not an insult. But, well,
but
using
she's
the
also
both,
the butt because she's the one.
Michelle took some self-deprecating shots
she did.
At herself.
Understood. With understood. Now, and both Lisa Lampanelli and the great Don Rickles, they were insult comics.
Right.
And we're talking about a comic. This was the correspondent's dinner. You hired her to make fun of everything that goes on in that world.
Right.
She made fun of everything that went on in that world.
Yeah.
And these are the people that are involved, and, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I've lost respect for Roseanne, who I really respected a lot. I really respected, you know, her story and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Like, her husband, she got famous. Her husband was the asshole of all her jokes. I don't know if that was a place from love or hate. It was fucking brutal the way she talked about her husband.
Ooh,
and she
yeah.
got a career off of it.
Yeah, she did.
So I've lost a lot of respect for Roseanne. Dennis Miller is really irrelevant and needs to go away. But Roseanne still can be relevant. So I would have really liked to have seen Roseanne. Roseanne, because, listen, I didn't find the stuff funny. She could have said that. But I respect that she went up there with the balls to do it. She didn't back down. And that should still be the Roseanne brand.
Yeah,
because for the
be.
Longest time, that was the Roseanne brand. She's not going to take shit.
Right.
She's going to fight TV execs. She's going to fight ex-husbands. She's going to fight this one, fight that one, because she thinks she's right. That was the Roseanne brand.
I think if you're getting your career going, my opinion again, is if you think you're going to get a career going – and you were that feisty at that time, and it was a different time, you know. You made your money. The phone isn't really ringing. You wound up getting this, which actually you found a niche for.
Yeah.
And you're figuring, I'll keep
but
it
she
going.
But she was just a judge a season or two ago when they had it on Last Comic Standing.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
She was still on network TV.
Mm.
You know, it was self-imposed. Well, you know, she went the way.
She decided to go and grow macadamia.
Yeah,
nuts,
that was.
You know?
She went to Hawaii and grow macadamia.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but you want to know something? Even you talk to a lot of guys that have projects going. You know, and they even guys at on the higher rungs. You know, a project gets canceled or something like that, and they're like going humming, 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 humming. And at any level, you know, you're
sure.
worried for that next project. So when you get that project, you do everything to build a brand on it, to do this and to do that, you know. And
but I think the good thing for Roseanne is it didn't get a lot of media coverage.
Yeah, right.
I think that, but I think if it did get a lot of media coverage, I think she would lose a lot of fans over it.
It would have been hurt because, well, another thing that's insulting to women. There were two different comments that came up after this whole thing. One was, and I don't remember who the person who said it, but somebody tweeted, "Oh, you know, it was so mean of her to attack Sarah. She's a mother and a wife," and it's like.
She's
yeah.
also the White House press secretary.
She's
yeah.
she's in the throes of it every day. She's the front line.
She went to a PTA meeting and fucking busted Mildred Burke's bust balls, you know?
Oh,
you
that, know? Was, that was a struggle, wasn't it?
Yeah, holy shit.
Wow. Oh, God.
Should have left that one on the cross.
In the middle of that, I'm going, I could have picked an easier name. It's not a Sue Johnson. I got Mildred Burke. Who the fuck?
Poor guy just lost an engine on his plane. He's going to try to land the ship in the plane
hey,
anyway.
Fuck Mildred Burke.
I think Sue Johnson.
She baked cookies last week.
All right, we're evening out. He's got a shot at landing this joke.
We're going to bring him in. Me too low. But anyway. Still cracks you up.
But it gets Gully. Help.
But still, you know, it's a lady in a PTA and you're busting her. She's a nice lady. And she, yeah, she works at the library. She said, why are we busting her balls? This woman's the White House press secretary.
Yeah, really. It's like, and it's irrelevant whether. Irrelevant whether
See,
she
it's
has,
not that easy, is it?
Irrelevant.
I never judge myself by her.
It's irrelevant whether she has children or not. What the fuck does that have to
yeah.
do with anything?
Desperate.
Oh, you know
it's
what?
Desperate.
You really
yeah.
shouldn't be picking on Trump because he has children. Fuck that.
And like
noise.
I
grandma.
Like I said, yeah. Michelle Wolf did not take any shots of Melania or Barron.
Right.
A lesser comic would have gone there, especially with Melania and the whole hand holding thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's certainly places you could go and her cyberbullying campaign with her. You
yeah.
could certainly go after Melania.
Yeah, you could.
But right. she didn't go there.
And you want, yeah. like I said, the goofed on Sarah. She goofed on Sarah Sanders for an hour and a minute and 32 seconds. Me, I sit here for 3 hours and hear shit. Nobody cares about me.
We care,
oh, Joe's
Joe.
Girl.
We care.
Joe's
we
girl
all,
the other one.
Yeah.
We all care, Joe. I clutch your pearls with your little smoky eye. And your other point?
Well, the other thing was the thing that we were just talking about with Roseanne. It's like the whole thing is like her rules for comedy. I'm sorry. I like you were saying, I don't agree with any
There's
of that.
There's no rules.
But the other thing was saying that...
There's no rules. I think it's in one of the promos.
What was number one again? It was something about her, you know, she's being a bully?
They're using women to bully women.
Yeah.
Like, she's a part of the left-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
She's part of the deep... She's a deep state comic, Joe.
I'm sorry, but, there are... oh, my God. There are definitely, women who are still, like, in love with the patriarchy, and they're just like, you stay in your place, young lady, and go be barefoot and pregnant and make a sandwich.
I agree. I have a dick that needs to be sucked. Where are these women? Send them here, Pip.
Go to the dungeon.
I got to pay, and they won't suck.
Cheapskate.
They're rules.
Doing comedy where everybody gets shot down in the room, that's not bullying. Stop it.
It just looks so... It's like, when the hell did Roseanne... Dennis Miller and Roseanne became 90 before our eyes.
Yeah.
It's just really disappointing.
Very.
But
very.
That's why you have us. Because we don't give a shit. We'll make fun of anybody and we won't apologize.
And we're not pushing 90 yet.
No.
I'm so sorry.
We're the Michelle Wolves of internet radio.
That's right.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll on the break, Excite Project featuring CK and Dave Switcher with Night Slip In. And, of course, you can learn more about them at khb-music.de, Excite Project. So we'll be back. Real short break.